Thanks so much for joining us for the New Life Robina podcast. New Life Church is one family, many churches, and we exist to simply see more people more like Jesus by planting and leading thriving local churches. We pray that this message is a blessing.
How are we this morning, everyone? We good? Good, good, good. Hey, I turned a little bit older this week, and on my birthday, I pulled my back, and so if I look a little bit old and hobbly, it's just my back. I promise old age hasn't caught up to me that much. But yeah, if I do look a little bit funky, don't worry. I am just terrible with my posture, apparently. So just a little bit of housekeeping. Hey, before we get into it, I just want to give a massive shout out to Emma and sharing her testimony. I feel really bad. I may have miscommunicated with Emma. She thought she was just going to say this at the first week of Alpha to like a group of like, you know, 50 or 60 people. It's like, no, I mean church. And so we sort of clarified that just the other day. And so it was a huge moment for Emma. And I just want to say, hey, thank you so much for that. Give her a round of applause. It was great. And I can confirm Emma really did pepper me with questions each week at dinner time. And I thought, gee, I don't know whether I'm ready for another week of being blasted at dinner time, but it was really, really good. But no, all jokes aside, though, I just encourage you, if you have got someone in your life that you think Alpha would be a great fit for or something for them to try, I just say, hey, what have you got to lose? It might be a moment of awkwardness where you have to explain or fumble your way through what Alpha is and why you go to church, but what might be at the other side of that is someone coming to know their Lord and their Savior, and so I think that's well worth it. So that being said, why don't I pray? Why don't we just commit this time over to God? Because I just think there's no better way to start a message than that. So Lord, we thank you that you are moving amongst us, Lord. Even this morning, we hear a testimony of someone who came to know you as their Lord and their Father, as their shepherd. God, as we jump into your text, your love letter to us, Lord, as we open up a scripture that is familiar to so many of us, God, may you just give us a fresh revelation this week. Today, as we open up your scripture, God, may it just be spirit-breathed, Lord. May it be life-filled. Lord, I pray that at the end of this, all of us just feel an overwhelming sense of intimacy and being close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So last week, if you were here, Anna preached a wonderful message, and she sort of opened up the start of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that first bit of this psalm is really an invitation for intimacy with God. As David writes this, it's kind of like this thing of like, hey, you want to know what it means to live a life with God at the center? Well, this is it. It is different. You will be on green pastures. He will lead you to still waters. You will be guided by a shepherd. There will be someone leading you. It's this beautiful pastoral invitation. And then as we read through just verse 4 today, I love it how I only had to preach on one. That's really, really good for me. But as we read through verse 4 this morning, where it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, as we read that, we actually see that there's a real change in what David is trying to communicate. At first, it was this beautiful invitation of come and sit at the feet of the Father. And then it's kind of like this confronting moment where he speaks about the hard times. Where he actually says, hey, this is what it means to go through hard times. I, as a follower of Christ, this is what it means for me to go through the valleys, to go through the hard times in life. And I've got to be honest, this morning with you as my church family, I often find it really hard dealing with people who are going through valleys. Dealing with sounds like a problem to solve, but actually walking that journey with people. I find it really hard because when people are stuck in a valley, you don't want to just say, oh, you'll be fine, you know, have a concrete milkshake, harden up, like, you know, that kind of just, Larry, that's definitely good. Yeah, Michael said that's good preaching. Now the band can come up. No. But, you know, this idea of shrugging it off, oh, you'll be fine. Oh, it's all right. It's nothing. I don't ever want to say to people, hey, it's going to get better. You'll be fine. It's going to get better. because this side of eternity, we don't know if it is going to get better. And quite often in my own life, and when I'm journeying with people and I'm pastoring people through what they're walking through, I find it really hard to, I guess, to walk this through with pastoral sensitivity, but also give people something to aim for, give them a light to see. And what I love about this psalm and what I love about this verse is that it so clearly explains how we walk through stuff, how we go through the valleys of life, the more than that, where God is in that and where we're headed. And so this isn't like, you know, a crash course in how to walk someone through something in 10 seconds. But what this is this should be a constant reminder for those of us who call ourselves Christians. Hey, this is what it means for us to live in the world that we live in. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So I'm just going to read through that first bit again. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So when we read that, what we see is that David's actually saying, hey, life is filled with challenges. There's darkness, there's valleys, but as we read on a bit further, there is a shepherd who is leading us through those. But that word walk, as we read that, as I've been studying this text and doing a real deep dive, I've found there's a real emphasis when David says the word walk. There's a real intentionality around that. You think about it. When you walk somewhere, you're going there at a controlled pace. There's a sense of calm when someone walks. You know, when I go through the shops, I pride myself on never getting overtaken by someone, but doing a lot of overtaking. I blitz through. Some of you have seen me in shopping centers. You think, wow, Mountjoy, settle down. But I love it. I just love going fast. But then when I go to, this is going somewhere, I promise. This isn't just a self-roast. But then when I go to the supermarket with Soph, my wife, there's like this painful, slow walk that she does. But it's interesting because very, very quickly what I find is the ingredients that I may or may not have walked past, like chicken for butter chicken, hypothetically, that hasn't actually happened. But when I walk with Soph and I go slow, there's this calm that she has. And there's this sense of peace that she has as she sort of walks through the shopping center. And then I think about this and, you know, you watch movies. And any time, you know, there's a baddie coming after someone, no one's just like casually kind of just relaxed walking, you know. They're running out of there. They're getting out of the way because there's a sense of panic. But any time there's someone walking, there's this calm. It's like, you know, the sun's shining. There's ducks in the lake. Like it's this image of going, there's a peace. And so when David says, even though I walk through the valley, he's actually saying, even though I'm a little bit freaked out, even though this is a dark valley, even though I don't know what's coming ahead, I will continue to walk. There's going to be a sense of calm about the way that I go through this. I am not anxious about this because I know someone who is in control. So I love that language, this idea of this word walk. It's this calm. It's this controlled, hey, it's actually going to be okay. And then he says, I walk through the valley. Not I get stuck in the valley, but I walk through the valley. Now, it's really interesting because when we hear this word through, this is where I think sometimes I find it difficult to walk this journey with people. We don't know whether the through the valley happens here on earth or it happens in heaven, but either way it happens. And so it's really important for us to understand that when we say this, when David is writing this, he's saying it might be this side of heaven or it might be in heaven, but I will get through what I'm walking through. David's not in a hurry. He's not tense. There seems to be this awareness of whereabouts he is. This valley. But he's even more aware of who is the one that's leading him through. Even though I walk through the valley. Now, it's really interesting. There's two kind of, I would say different opinions on the understanding of the valley in this text. There's Bonnie, that freak, the daylight's out of me. She's just there. Sorry, Bonnie was just there. I was like, oh my gosh, there's someone down the front. It's just Bonnie, it's fine. Yeah, we're talking about valleys, aren't we? Yeah, we're there. Get back there, thanks, Di, on there. But there's two different understandings of valleys, you know. As I was reading stuff and I was doing a bit of research, there was this understanding of valleys being a dark and gloomy place. That when we look at a valley, it's dark, we're going through something. And there's this understanding that a predator would be able to look down on its prey with ease as it goes through the valley. So there's kind of this understanding. When we hear about the valley, we hold this in one hand. And then there's this other idea of the valley is that although, yes, it's dark, although it's cold, and although it may be a little bit different, often there's barren land on the hills that are above. But in this valley, although it's only a season that you're walking through, although it's dark and a bit scary, there's this life and there's this fauna and there's stuff in here that you wouldn't see if you didn't have to go through the valley. You know, I was walking with a mate, Will, and all I know, someone's going to come up to me afterwards and say, where's this hike? I don't know. It's near Boona. That's all I know. But we were going through this walk. Stevie Turner will be able to know this by the photo that I put up in a second. But as we were walking through, it was hot, it was sunny, and all of a sudden there's like this beautiful little creek, and Will's like, hey, what I want you to do, I just want you to wash your face, just cool yourself down, and, you know, just have a little refresh before we go through this valley. And then either side of this massive canyon, you can see it's rocks, but then it was just barren and bare. It was sunburnt land on top. But as we went through this valley, it was like this beautiful reprieve. It was a little bit scary. It was a little bit spooky. But there was this calm, and there was something that we saw as we walked through that we didn't see in any other time. And so I say that because it's actually helpful for us to understand we don't know exactly what the valley is that you're walking through. For some of you, it may feel like you're going for a hike through like this, and there's kind of like this moment of going, yeah, it's a valley. It's a little bit different. It's not what I'm used to, but there's actually something that I'm learning about myself. And then for other people, the valley can be a really, really terrifying place. Honesty hour, and you're going to giggle at this, but it's true. I am terrified of the dark, like genuinely terrified of the dark. And over Christmas, I don't know if you remember, but we had this little power outage. And whereabouts I am located in the greater Gold Coast region, we had no power for 12 days. And so, and whereabouts also we're located, we have a water tank and a septic system, which means everything that we relied on was through a generator. And so, you know, our daily routine, we'd sort of get stuff going. And then towards the end of the night, it'd be like we'd do the final flush of the toilet, let it fill up. We'd all fill up our water bottles, make sure our phones are charged, brush our teeth, all of that. And then I'd say to Soph, all right, you're ready for me to go outside and turn off the generator. And so I'd go off and turn it out. And then there was just this darkness, and it was still. And there was this level of, honestly, discomfort that I felt as it was kind of like, we were just like, all right, are we ready to go dark? And so when David's talking about the vulnerability here, I kind of like, in some degree, I can actually understand what he means when he talks about the valley. Because as I sat there at night, laying in bed thinking, oh my gosh, it would be so easy for someone to come and rob this house right now. They don't know that we're home. I can't turn lights on. I am really not a big person, so I would not be intimidating to anyone. And so all of this stuff starts to go through your head, and there's this feeling. And so when we talk about the valley, it's important to go, there's actually a different understanding of what the valley is that you're walking through. But either way, it's the acknowledgement that you are walking through a valley. It's foreign. It's different. It's not forever. Sometimes it can be a bit frightening. There can be this fear of unknown, of going, I don't feel like I can see much in front of me. And then other times we're seeing things that we would only see if we were forced to walk through the valley. And goes on to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a bit heavier again, doesn't it, as David says this. We've spoken about the valleys, but then he says, what about the valley of the shadow of death? It's really important to understand when he says the shadow of death, what he's actually saying here is that the death that we have here on earth, that's just our physical body. Our soul will live on forever. There's eternity that we have to wait for. So what he's saying is, even though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, even though my body, this may be the end for my earthly body, it is not the end for my soul, because I will get to be with my Creator. You think about it, when you're a kid, I don't know if you did this, but at school you would like line up with a friend, and you know, if the sun was right with the shadows, you'd like try and stab each other and kick each other with your shadows. Did anyone do that? Fantastic. All right, well, not doing that one in the tent. Thank you. My guinea pigs. Good. Think of something else. but you did it. And well, I did it anyways, but you wouldn't hurt anyone because it was just kind of like this funny thing. It was just kind of like your shadows playing with each other because your shadows are harmless. At the end of the day, it's just a shadow. It can actually cause no harm. Charles Spurgeon says this quote. He says, "Nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop someone's pathway even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. And the shadow of death cannot destroy us." See, think about what David is saying here. Even though I walk through some dark and some gloomy times, I'm going to continue to walk. I know that I'm only going through this. This is not going to be final. This is not my eternity. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. You know, when you're going through a valley, what's your natural response? When you're going through a hard time in your life, what's your natural response? See, I found it was really interesting when the whole darkness thing happened at our house and I was scared of the dark. I found myself on my phone at night. It was kind of like I would do like a quick token prayer. Dear God, please keep us safe. Amen. Poof, Facebook, local community page. Is there any burglars out tonight? You know, is there any vans out? But you know, it was really interesting. This is all true. Us, so fact check all of this. But I would read through. There's a white van mysteriously parked outside someone's house. I'm thinking, they're near us. Where's the white van? And all of a sudden, all of my baseline anxiety for someone who's naturally scared of the dark was a dumb idea. But this is what anxiety and fear does, is it fuels us. We just keep feeding on it. We're like, I need to know, I need to know. So when you're going through a valley, when you're in a dark moment in your life, where do you turn to? What do you do? For some people, it might be you do anything other than confront the darkness that you're walking through or the valley that you're going through. You work yourself into the ground. You avoid time with your family. You may turn to the bottle. You may suppress. You may take out some of those feelings on other people. Church, we all go through valleys. We all have moments in our life where we feel a little bit vulnerable. Whereas we go through this valley, it might be dark, it might be cold, it might be gloomy. But what I keep being reminded of is David's faith in God in that moment. That as he says, I'm going to continue to walk through. I'm not going to stop. I'm not stuck in the mud. I'm going to continue walking. You know, when I was a youth pastor, I found there was a reoccurring pastoral situation that would pop up. I don't want to say weekly, but it was almost weekly. And that was the old first breakup. You know, teenagers and young adults, their first breakup, they've been dating someone for a couple of weeks and they thought they were the one, and then the word falls out from underneath them. But what I found interesting was there was two things. There was me, someone a little bit older than them, had probably gone through some harder times in life, and I could have said a couple of things. Ah, you should be right, just get over it, you'll be fine, plenty of fish in the sea. Which, let's be honest, we've probably all thought about saying that to people in our world who are going through stuff that's seemingly not as deep as the valleys that we've gone through. But what I've found interesting is when you sit and you talk to these people in this moment where they're in a valley and you ask the question, hey, what are you filling that hole within your heart? Right now, there is a hole in your heart. Right now, you are walking through a valley. What are you doing about it? It's really interesting because it's this moment where, you know, we as adults, we kind of look back on these times and think, oh, you know, like I remember my first heartbreak and that's seemingly insignificant to some of the valleys that I've gone through. But what I found really interesting is that these people, they'll come and they'll say, hey, you know, like I started reading my Bible and I love it. Or I've started listening to worship music. Hey, I've deleted that app, or I've stopped doing that, or I'm actually trying to listen to worship music. I've deleted that playlist. And what you begin to see is these people who are going, hey, as I walk through this, as I go through this valley, and to us as adults, it may seem insignificant, but what I think it does is it creates a framework for us in the future. Because as the valleys get deeper and sometimes they get darker and gloomier and harder, what we're reminded of is, hey, as we walked through this, what did we do in response to that moment? I love it. I love seeing teenagers when they're in this season of going, or young adults, and they're going, hey, I went through this, but this is what I've been doing. This is what God's been telling me. This is what it means. I'm loving this. Yeah, my heart's still broken. I'm going to cry my little heart out, but you know what? God is good. I just think that's beautiful. That's what it's all about. And that's the kind of behavior. It's the kind of stuff that as we go through life, as life gets harder and harder and the valleys do get deeper, if we can actually disciple and lead people through some of these shallower canyons, some of these shallower valleys, what we're going to do is we're going to create a framework and a path for these people to walk. So when the valleys get darker and deeper, we can actually walk them through and say, hey, let me come through this with you. Let me walk this journey with you. Christine Kane says, fear is no match for the Spirit of God who lives inside of us. I love that. Fear is no match for the Spirit of God who lives inside of us. Just think about that. Those of us who have Jesus Christ living in our heart, there should be no room for fear. And you see that with David. You see, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though my body might be knocking on death's door here on earth, I still do not fear. Because I know the Good Shepherd. I know the one who leads me, the one who loves me. And then we sort of read this next bit. And theologically, this is a different one to unpack because some people might have been taught different understandings and different theologies around this. But David says, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, some people and I walk into this bit genuinely with caution. Because I think it can create a few different emotions, a few different feelings. But if we understand what a rod and a staff were used for back when David was a shepherd, that will actually help us wrap our head around what it means for God's rod and his staff to comfort us. Because ultimately, I think a key word in all of this is the word comfort. The key word is comfort. So when we talk about a rod, I want you to imagine just a short baseball bat. Like when David's talking about a rod, that's what he's talking about. It is a short baseball bat that is used as a way of defending and protecting his sheep. So the rod is not used on the animals. I've heard some teachings that, you know, there's kind of some horrible metaphors around people saying, you know, God uses the rod to break the legs so then people don't run off. And my heart breaks when I hear that. Because I'm like, apart from someone's hip being popped out, which that is a whole nother sermon, there is no indication of this kind of stuff ever happening. But if we understand what the rod is used for, the rod is used to ward off any predators. So the shepherd would ward off anything. Get away, get away. That's what the rod's used for. So the rod is a comforting thing because the shepherd uses that to ward off anything dangerous. anything that may threaten the life of the sheep. And then the staff. If you don't know what a staff is, just picture any nativity scene ever. The cute little kid walking around with the stick, that is a staff. There's a research about what the staff means, what it does, what it represents. This word discipline might come up when we talk about the staff. But the staff, once again, it's not a weapon. It's not used as a form of violence against the sheep. The staff, if used correctly by the shepherd, is more of a tool as the sheep are walking along. If a sheep just begins to wander, the staff might be used just to gently, hey, as we're walking along, why don't you come close to me? Hey, as you're just veering off, as your thoughts are beginning to wander, as you're beginning to go off path, the staff God will just use to gently, as we're moving, as we're walking that journey, just to bring us closer, to bring us in. For the rod and the staff, they comfort. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We, as followers in Christ, should be comforted by the fact that we have a shepherd who cares. We have a shepherd who cares so much we can't comprehend. I grew up in, as we all know, country Victoria. And I hung out with a lot of farmers, went on a lot of farms. I have farming in my family history. We were farmers. And what I, if I was to politely summarise farmers, I would say they are some of the most stubborn people you will ever meet. Their hands are like sandpaper. They're weathered from standing outside. They know more about weather patterns from the last decade than they do about what's happening in current affairs that week. But then you walk into a paddock with a farmer and it's amazing. All you see is a sea of sheep or cows, or choose whatever animals you want to use for the metaphor. And all you see is the colour or the breed. But that farmer will be able to tell you, oh, that one's a friendly one. That one, if you just stand still, that one will come over to you. I probably wouldn't go too close to that one. That one's got a little bit of a temperament. Yeah, I've actually got my eye on that. I've got my eye on that animal. It's not doing too well. That's actually why I've put a little mark on its back, so then I know to give it the extra care that it needs. I know that this young belongs to that mother and this one belongs to that mother, and these farmers have this care and this love for their animals. They have this knowledge that to us, we look and we go, it's all just a paddock of animals, but they know them individually. And that's a farmer with his sheep, with his livelihood. Imagine what it's like with God, with us. Imagine how much more God knows about each and every one of us. The one who created us, the one who breathed life into our lungs. The one who created us to be in relationship with him, who invites us, doesn't force us, but invites us to be in a relationship with him, to lie down the green pastures, to sit by the still waters, to give us direction as we walk through the valleys that we walk through in life, to be comforted by, to be protected by. Should be the kind of thing, church, that we keep reminding ourselves. As we go through valleys, as we walk through these hard times, to remember, to understand that we're always going to keep moving forward. We may not see healing this side of heaven. some situations that people are going into, people who are in a palliative state. They might not actually see light here in their physical bodies, but they are going to be with their Creator. Even though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's just a shadow. Because we get to live eternally with our Heavenly Father. Let me pray. God, I don't want to fly through this moment. I've had a sense that this week, as I was preparing, as I was praying for church, praying for our community, I just so clearly had this vision of people right now who are currently resisting the guidance of the staff. It's almost like you felt God begin to get around you and say, hey, come closer to me, and you're not sure whether to trust that or whether to run from that. So we're going to keep our eyes closed. We're going to keep our heads down just in this moment. Right now, if you feel like you've been resisting God's guidance, if you've been resisting God's care, and right now you can just feel the Spirit of God pressing on your heart saying, yeah, that's you. We're going to have our heads down, we're going to have our eyes closed, but could you just be so brave as to put your hand up for a moment? Just going to wait a bit longer. I really sense some people here this morning who, yeah, they've just been resisting that guidance from God. That God wants to remind you He's here to comfort you. He's not here to harm you. He's not here to hurt you. He's here to comfort you. So if you're needing a bit more of God's comfort, if you've been resisting but you're actually saying, now's the time where I need to realign myself with God and I need to draw close to the Shepherd, you just put your hand up. Amazing. Thank you. I'm just going to wait just a touch longer. I just want to pray right now for those people who have their hand up. God, even right now, may they just feel the comfort of a loving Father. The gentle drawing back in into relationship with you. Just felt just stirring in my heart, and I could be wrong. But I asked earlier the question about, you know, what are you doing when you're in the valleys? Who are you turning to? And I either said something or the Holy Spirit said something to you that has just brought a level of conviction and revealed something. And so if this morning God has identified something in you, do you actually realize isn't a healthy way of coping with going through the valleys? We're going to keep our eyes closed. We're going to keep our heads down. But could you just put your hand up just so I know who I'm praying for? Thank you. Keep it up. We'll keep it up for just a second longer. Thank you. Like, put your hands down if you like. And what so what I'd love for us to do, if we could, just stand to our feet if you're able. You know, Emma shared this morning, just before, about how all she wanted to do was run. All she wanted to do was not come to Alpha. But she actually had someone who held her accountable, who simply said, "Hey, it's fine. Don't worry that you're late. I look forward to seeing you." And for some of you right now, you felt something stirring in your heart. The Holy Spirit has begun to convict, to release, to reveal some things to you. And my encouragement would be, is find your section leader, find the person standing next to you, find a pastor, we'll be down the front. There's section leaders everywhere. They've got a lanyard and a white tag. You can't miss them. But if you put your hand up, my encouragement would be is ask for some extra prayer. Create some accountability in your life, because who knows? The person praying for you might have walked the valley that you're in. They might actually be able to get alongside you and say, "Hey, let's go through this together." Church, let's not sit in silence. Let's not walk in fear. Let's not worry about the darkness. Let's continue to walk. Continue to move. Not fill ourselves with fear, but be reminded that we are following a good and loving Father. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the New Life Podcast. If that stirred something within you or you'd like prayer, you can head to church.nu/prayer or contact us through our Instagram or Facebook page. Pray that you have a great week. Be blessed.